Whenever we embark in Scripture to look at a passage that we are quite familiar with, regardless of the last time you were in church or the last time you read your Bible, most people are familiar with the story of Joseph. However, today I would like to share with you some insights and revelation that God has given me to help you understand the next dimension. So when we read the text, I want you to be aware of not just the story that you are knowledgeable of, but I want you to have your heart and mind open to hear what God is really trying to say. Genesis, the 37th chapter, verse 1. The Bible declares, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And also he made him a tunic, a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him all the more and could not speak peaceably to him." The Bible goes on to say that Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed." And the Bible goes on to say he explains the dream to them, and in the dream it's them binding sheaves in the field, and his sheaf rose higher and stood upright, and their sheaves stood and bowed down. His brothers hated the dream. Allow me the paraphrase. Hated the dream. And the Bible says he dreamed again. Look at your name and say, "Dreaming of a dream." Then he dreamed still another dream. And he told his brothers. And he said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And at this time, the sun, the moon, the stars bowed down to me." And he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? So your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you." The Bible says, and his brothers envied him. But watch this, watch this, watch this. But his father kept the matter in mind. I want to preach right there. I want to preach to you from the subject, a glimpse of greatness. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak a word to us today that doesn't just change some things, but it changes everything. Let this word, Father, cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Let it transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive the word. Anoint every ear so that we can hear it. Father, this is your house. You have the permission to do whatever you want to do. So I stand in my spiritual authority, and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. move as you see fit. Somebody needs a touch from you today. Somebody needs direction and guidance. Somebody needs a word that they can hold on to and run with. So, Father, release that word. Hide me behind your cross, because it's all about you. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. All right, KLC, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. You know how we do it up in here. Come on, show them your pearly whites or light yellows, whatever you got in there. Amen. And say, God has given you a glimpse of greatness. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach this thing to you in two ways or in two streams, if that's all right. If you allow me to, I promise I'll get you there, and I don't think it'll take very long. It was Victor Hugo who said, there's nothing like a dream to create the future. You and I have to begin to realize that as much as we have heard it and as often as we have been underneath of the word that would allow us to realize who we are and understand our identity and realize that our purpose of being is significant, as much as we hear that and as much as we want to believe that, it is often that we do not understand that we are one of a kind. That unlike the culture in the body of Christ, you've come to hear that, you know, that if God has a blessing for you and you don't pick it up and you don't take it, that somebody else can run with it. That's actually a misnomer, because what God really designed you for is really specifically designed for you. You are purpose by design, and therefore all of the provisions that go along with your purpose are unique, and they are unique to the abilities and the talents and the gifts and the purpose that God has given you. And I simply believe that, or should I say, if I can just drop this into your spirit before I really get going, that I believe that it's time for you to live in a space where you feel, touch, and taste your dream. In other words, that you begin to see the finish line from the starting gate, and you begin to implement the strategies that you have to implement and go through the process that you have to go through so that you can actually live your dream. The problem with dreaming is that at some point you're going to have to wake up. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up, wake up, wake up. That's spiritual and practical, because they sleep right now. They sleep. You have to adjust to your new day. You have to shake off the dust of past disappointments. You have to not allow yourself to bring a less than posture to your next opportunity. You have to realize that, yes, you've had some setbacks. Yes, you've had some disappointments, but it doesn't make you less than. And you can't take that posture into your next opportunity. Am I talking to anybody? You have to come to the conclusion that no matter where you are, no matter how long it's been, no matter how tired you are, no matter how frustrated you are, no matter how angry you are, you never back off your dream. You never back off what God said you can do. You never back off because somebody criticized you or ridiculed you or stepped over you or didn't see the potential on the inside of you. Just go ahead and do a practice run and touch two or three people and say, never back off your dream. Never back off your dream. Oh my God, I was in California, and as I was in California, I saw this acorn on the ground, and I'm looking at this acorn, and next to the acorn is this huge tree. And I'm not trying to be philosophical. I just noticed a little stuff like that, and I saw the acorn, and I looked up at the tree, and I said, "Oh man, that's a huge tree." And it just dawned on me that at one point in time, this tree was this acorn. You don't hear what I'm saying? At one point in time, the same acorn that I stepped over, you don't hear what I'm saying? Somebody stepped over in the past, but it still had within it the ability to become this thing that I was looking up to. I don't care how many people have stepped over you. I don't care how many people have not recognized you. I don't care how many people overlook you. You you still have the power of your potential on the inside of you to be everything that God has called you to be. Now, let me get to where we want to go. It is in the story that we begin to discover that Joseph, if you will, and I've preached this so many times in so many different ways, and I've never been able to, I love God, and I love how he takes you back to the word and shows you things that you never ever seen before in scripture, even though you read it 100 times. And as I was going over this and thinking about it, the Lord says, I always give my people a glimpse of greatness before I start them on the journey to live their dream. I always give them a snapshot of their future so that they would have the energy and the momentum to go after what they saw. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have the guts to go after what you saw? When God gives you a glimpse, he gives you the glimpse so that you can develop the guts to go after the thing he showed you. Oftentimes, God will show you a thing, but you lack the guts to go and get the thing that he showed you. And so Joseph is 17 years old, and he's young, 17, and he is the son of his father, Jacob. And he has older brothers, and his brothers are all grown. It's 11 of them now. Benjamin is not even quite here yet. And so with this in mind, the Bible says that there was a little hateration going on within his family dynamic, and Joseph really wasn't aware of the dynamics of his family. He was too young to discover it and to understand the hateration that was taking place. And the reason that they hated Joseph was not because he was a tattletale or he was a snitch. They did not throw Joseph in the pit because he was a snitch. So snitches do not end up in ditches. Y'all ain't saying nothing. That was not the reason for why he did that or why they did that. The reason they're going to wind up throwing him in this pit, and I'll get there in just a second, is because they were just so tired of the favor that was upon his life. His father really favored him, and he made him a tunic, a coat of many colors. The tunic, if you will, was indicative of his status in the family. It was indicative of where he went. It was indicative that he was made for something else. So they were not mad with him because his father gave him a coat. They were mad with him because he wasn't doing the same work that they were doing. They were workmen. They were blue collar, get their hands dirty, down in the dirt, herdsmen type dudes. But Joseph, if you will, was a thinker and a thought leader, and Jacob was grooming him, if you will, and training him for a greater destiny in a different dimension. The dimension that he was grooming him for was going to be a blessing for his family that his brothers did not understand. It is often that people will hate you because they fail to discover the reason that God is blessing you is really for them, but they don't know it. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They don't understand why God has put the favor upon you. They don't understand why God has opened a door for you. They don't understand why that's happening for you. And so what they do innately is to try to diminish, if you will, your shine, diminish, if you will, your brilliance, diminish your ability to bring a little bit of light your way. And so they don't want you to discover that. And so for Joseph, if you will, his brothers did not want him to shine. And the reason they didn't want him to shine was because I'm out here working, you're sitting in the house planning and strategizing with Pop, but we out here getting our hands dirty, and I'm sick and tired of it. Moreover, every time he asks for a report, you got to go back and tell them exactly what it is that we're doing. Do you always have to be perfect, Joseph? Do you always have to be meticulous? Do you always have to be a person of excellence? Can't you lower yourself down to where we are? Look at your neighbor and say, no, I can't. Come on here. The reason why I can't lower myself to where you are is because my dimension is different than where you are based upon where I am going. I wish I had. It doesn't make me better than you. I wish I had somebody in here. It doesn't make me better than you. It doesn't make you less than. It just means I'm operating in a different capacity and in a different area. And if you would discover your purpose, you would be involved in less of mine. If you would, y'all want here, if you discover what God called you to do, then you would not be concerned with what I'm wearing or what I'm doing or what My coat would not matter. You don't hear what I'm saying. Look at your neighbor and say, get your own thing, baby. Get your own thing. When you're busy trying to live your dream, you ain't got time for the pettiness of arguments, of criticism, and comparison. You don't have time to be worrying about what's happening over there, or how God is blessing somebody over there, or what they driving over there. I'm trying to get my own. I wish I had somebody else. I got a dream of my own. I got stuff to do. Slap your name and say, I got stuff to do, baby. I got stuff to do. Encoded within you is something absolutely powerful, like the acorn laying on the ground. Encoded within it was the tree. Encoded within you is something absolutely powerful, something no one else has. And it is stirring within your heart. I can feel it all over this room, but I can also feel the frustration at the same time. And so you're simmering with your potential, and you're simmering with your destiny, and you're simmering with all the ideas and concepts on the inside of you. And what you're really trying to do, thank you, Holy Spirit, is that you're trying to just catch your breath to just dream one more time and just to give it another shot. And just because so many people have walked over you and stepped over you, and devalued you because they never saw the greatness on the inside of you. And all you got is a glimpse. Joseph really doesn't know what he has. He just has a glimpse. And so he the way we preach this thing, I don't know if it's right or if it's wrong, but the way most preachers preach it is that he was arrogant and arrogant. I don't know that he was arrogant. The Bible doesn't say that, and so that's opinion. And so I don't know that he was arrogant. I just think he was excited. I think he was excited about the glimpse, and he wasn't able to articulate or understand the dynamics of his family and the hateration that was going on. He wasn't able to know, my God, the end result of it. All he had was the glimpse. He knew he was birthed out for something great, but all he had was a snapshot. So he tried to share his snapshot, y'all ain't said nothing, with somebody. And when he shared the snapshot and not the full picture, they started hating on him. Slap your name and say, don't share the snapshot just yet. You got to let that thing develop in the dark and through the process. You got to let that thing marinate and develop a little bit, because when God gives you a glimpse, it doesn't necessarily mean that you got to share it with everybody. He wasn't arrogant. I just think he was excited, and I just think he wanted his family to know that God showed me something. Ooh, look, God showed me something, and I want to tell you what he showed me. We were binding our sheaves in the field, but then my sheaf stood tall, and your sheaf bowed down. That don't sound good, dude. That don't sound good. I wonder what old Joseph would tell young Joseph. Old Joseph would say, don't say it like that. Old Joseph would say, listen, it's the same story, it's just in another dimension, so let me tell it from the next dimension. Can I parenthetically insert into your spirit that your story is going to be the same, but you just shot your shot too early and you didn't have the opportunity to tell your story from the other side of the next dimension? So you're excited about what God is doing and you want to share it, but you haven't lived through it. You haven't lived the dream. Okay. And so old Joseph would say, don't say it like that, son. Go tell him that God showed you something that's going to bless their future. Oh, God, I feel like preaching to somebody. No, don't say that they bowed down. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to mess it up. You don't hear it. I wonder if old Joseph would tell him to say it differently, or I wonder if old Joseph would go to young Joseph and say, go ahead and do what you did the first time. You hear what I'm saying? Because I wonder if old Joseph has a greater appreciation for the development of the glimpse that God gave him and the process through which God designed for him to discover the rest of the picture. When God gives you a glimpse of greatness, he gives you a snapshot of the future, not so much that you can run and tell everybody, and that's okay in your excitement. You're going to do that, and I get it. I'm not knocking him for that. But the reason why he gives you the glimpse is so that you can learn how to listen to your dream. Slap your name and say, you got to listen to your dream. You got to listen. See, sometimes the dream that's nestled in your heart sings and it's loud and it does it with conviction and assurance and vigor. But sometimes that sucker whispers. The still small voice. Who am I talking to in here? Either way, your dream is still priceless and significant no matter how you hear it, but you've got to learn how to listen to it. And once you begin to set that thing in motion, it's capable of producing just astounding results. You see, a dream fulfilled can change the atmosphere of life. Whenever you begin to walk into everything that God has called you to be and called you to do, it can shift entire atmospheres. Slap your name and say, your dream can change atmospheres because it contains the power to create and to revolutionize and to cure diseases and to transform life. I wish I had somebody in here. And to revolutionize technology. You don't know what's stored up on the inside of you that God has given you a glimpse of that might be the answer to 10,000 problems. You don't know what God has put on the inside of you that God has given you a glimpse of that the world is waiting to see. You don't know that all of creation, my God, is groaning and moaning, waiting, my God, for the expectations of the sons of God. I'm gonna get there. When God gives you a glimpse, he gives you a snapshot. That snapshot is something that he shows you that is future tense, and your future is waiting for your arrival. I'm trying to come on. They ain't helping me. Your future is waiting for your arrival. And it's not that you live with the worry or concern of tomorrow, for the Bible says, give no thought for tomorrow, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm not saying your future is waiting for your arrival and you got to arrive with panic and with worry because you're going to miss something. I'm saying your future is patient.